Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to Romans chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. Romans chapter number 1 in the Word of God this evening. And we're going to read just one verse here, verse number 8 here in Romans chapter number 1. And then we'll get right into the message tonight. Romans chapter number 1, would you please follow along as I read verse number 8. The Bible says this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." This evening, I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture and maybe even move a little bit past this passage here, looking at the subject titled, "The Christian's Heart." The Christian's Heart. Let's go to our Savior in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can once again gather in your house. Thank you, Savior, for these who have been discipled over the last 3 months and who are able to be here this evening. I ask, Savior, that we put our arms around them, help them to continue to grow here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Father, I ask, Lord, as we come to the preaching of God's Word, that, Savior, you would hide me behind the cross. Father, that as we walk out of these doors tonight, we would see you in the Word of God. Help us to rightly divide the Word of truth. Thank you, Father, as Pastor said a moment ago, for a place that has its doors open on Wednesday night. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he is writing to the Romans. At this time in the Apostle Paul's ministry, he has not been to Rome yet. This is written before his journey there, but he was writing to a group of people there. This, a most important book in the Word of God, Romans, is written and used even in our culture many times today. You and I, through this book, have many of these verses memorized, and it's a great help for Christians as we lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this book, it teaches Christians that a sinner can be saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see very quickly the heart of the Apostle Paul. When we look at the subject, the Christian's heart, we begin to look or maybe even examine our own hearts. If you would ponder for just a moment the question, how is your heart this evening? Not talking about your physical heart, but your spiritual heart. Not looking across the auditorium or maybe across the pew at someone else thinking, well, I know what their heart is like. Their heart is very dark, or it's stone hard from bitterness, and or it's a mean-spirited heart. And maybe looking at my own heart, well, my heart is pure, it's good, it's wide, it's breaking for those who are hurting, or it's fixed on the things of God. No, understand, we ask the question tonight, looking at our own heart, what is our heart, or what is the condition of our heart tonight? In these verses, we see the heart of the Apostle Paul, who was possibly one of the greatest missionaries to have ever lived. When he was saved in Acts chapter number 9, what I love about the Apostle Paul is that his passion for his Savior never changed. When he was on the road to Damascus and he had that transformation in his life, and as he began to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from that moment on, we see in his life that integrity, that enthusiasm, that passion that he had for Jesus, it never changed. There are many that you and I know today, and you may win somebody to Christ, and you see it in their life that there's this zeal about them. There is this passion about them. Even those who are newly discipled, that I love about them joining our services, is they bring this type of warmness to our service that everything is new and everything is fresh. And you even remember at your life when you were saved, that freshness that you had again, that zeal or that enthusiasm or that constant encouragement to reach out, to encourage others, to win them to Christ. And this is how the Apostle Paul was. I remember not long ago, we prayed for a long time for this man to be saved, and finally this man came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he just had that glow about him. And Pastor, you know that it's the type of person that he just soaks up everything Bible. You've been there, you know people like that, and they really begin to think that everything that is around them is of Jesus, and everything that is said is in the Word of God. And I remember one Sunday night, I began to question this man because he was there Sunday morning, freshly saved, and then he wasn't there Sunday night. And I called him up and I said, "Hey man, I didn't see you in church, and just kind of wonder where you are and where you were last night." And he said, "Oh, you know, me and my family were down at the lake, and you know, Brother Shepherd, it's all good. You know, God's good and it's okay." And I begin to try to help him and say, "Well, that's good, but you need to be in church Sunday night and you need to be there." And he said, "Oh no, Brother Shepherd, you know what Jesus says. He says, work hard, play hard." And I begin to think, I don't think he said that, but like your spirit, amen. That's good. That's good. That's the Apostle Paul. He was always excited. He was always reaching out. He was enthusiastic, even at this stage in his life, to get out and to win others and to see towns come to know him. And when we look at the Apostle Paul, when we look at his life, especially here in a couple of verses in Romans chapter number 1, what we see is a model for the Christian's heart, a model for the Christian's life. It was even the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So tonight, as we look at the Apostle Paul's life, over the next several verses, let's follow him and let's model his heart this evening. If you're taking notes tonight, number one, would you write this down? Number one, Christians have a thankful heart. Christians have a thankful heart. Look once again at verse number 8 here in Romans chapter 1. He said, first, this is number 1, before anything else, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, and that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Understand, as Paul began to write this letter, he says, first of all, before I talk about anything else, I want you to understand this, that I am thankful for you. Christian, watch very carefully. In the culture that you and I live in, you comprehend very quickly that this culture is very negative. Everyone is always complaining. The news is always dark. Our nation is always falling apart. Churches are always wrong. People never do what's right. Even as Christians, many times, there are those who explode social media, and it's never positive. It's never the things of God. It's never the blessings of Christ. No, it's what went wrong in my life, and I was treated wrong here, and this isn't going good, and I wish this person would change, and I wish this person would treat me like this. And I really believe, understand, if we are going to have the heart of a Christian, a heart like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you and I must have a thankful heart. It was Paul that said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 18, "What then, notwithstanding even, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." I know, understand, that you and I are thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're thankful for our Savior, would you say amen tonight? Amen. We're thankful for our Savior. But what if we had the heart like Paul that said, yes, we're thankful for our Savior, but we're also thankful for others who God has put in our life. Instead of concentrating on the negative, instead of concentrating on the hurt or the backstab or the things that didn't go right or the bad 5 minutes during the day, what if you and I as Christians begin to concentrate on the good, the lovely, the pure, the Word of God, our Savior, and those who have been put in our life to help guide and encourage us? I'm saying there are many that truly go through their life, and it's always looking at everything that went wrong. even coming many times into the house of God. It's someone took my parking place, or somebody took my seat, or it's too hot in there, or it's too cold in there, or I can't see the screen. It was this, or it was that. I said, I think if you and I are going to have the mind and the heart of Christ like the Apostle Paul, we have to concentrate on the good, the missionaries being sent out, the missionaries who are here tonight, those who are being discipled, a pastor that preaches the Word of God, a Christian school, a Christian college, a wonderful campus. Somebody help me out tonight, amen? There's much to be thankful for this evening. There are those that may sit back and say, oh, this old bus barn, do we really need it? It's going to be expensive, and it's going to be... No, understand. You and I have got to come together and thank God that we're going to break down ground on a bus barn, and thank God that we're going to have a place to put our buses in to get them fixed, and thank God for the kids who are going to get saved and who are going to grow up here in Lancaster and be sent out. Thank God for the funds that are coming in and have already come in to build this. Thank God. Let's concentrate on the positive. Because I'll tell you very quickly, coming from West Virginia, everything in California is expensive. So if you're complaining about a bus barn, the value menu at McDonald's is expensive, okay? So you and I got to come together and have this thankful heart. But also we see, number two, Christians have a prayerful heart. Look at verse number 9, the next verse down in Romans 1. Watch what Paul says. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul's saying here, if I can't be there, I'm going to pray for you. The missionaries who are here this evening, we can't be where they are reaching the souls with them, but we can sure pray for them. We have a prayer list that pastor's going to go over here in just a couple of moments, and that prayer list is not just to have so that we can stick it in our Bible or maybe take some notes. No, that prayer list is for you and I to pray for each other, to pray for the request, even that Christ has given us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let me read just verse number 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. May you and I as Christians always be in that state of prayer. Always be there to encourage each other, to help each other, to walk up and maybe just give that warm handshake or that warm hug and say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I might not know exactly what you're going through, but I want to be there for you. I want to help you. Church, understand tonight, Satan is after our marriages. He's after our homes. What you and I can do for each other is pray for each other. Help each other. It was last Wednesday night, as Pastor Chappell was preaching, Carrie and I were sitting back here with our kids, and we were sitting back there with the Sisson family, and so we're back there. I love, Pastor was just about to get in his message, and he said, church, I want to tell you this tonight, that Brother Jim Harris, he's coming home. And we all begin to get big smiles, and some begin to break out in claps. And as I sat towards the back, Pastor, I begin to look around, and you know what was just so overwhelmingly encouraging? Was seeing how many young kids sitting in here begin to high-five and were so excited. It was the England kids back there that they looked at each other and they grabbed each other and they were just so excited. You know why? Because they were praying for Brother Harris. And every night in family devotions, there were many of us that went before the throne of God. I myself have never even met Brother Harris, but I look forward to shaking his hand and getting to know him. And when you and I look at Brother Harris's life, it's not saying, well, it was the hospital care. Well, it was the good doctors. No, you and I as prayer warriors understand that it was the great physician why you and I are going to be able to serve with Brother Harris again. A prayerful heart, but number three, Christians have a willing heart. Verse number 10, look at verse number 10. making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul is saying here, I've been praying, I've been preparing. If God allows it, I am willing to come. I'm willing to step out. I'm going to be where you are. Paul didn't send others to go. No, he had a willing heart. And there are many young adults today that are setting back and okay with letting someone else do the work, letting someone else be called, letting someone else do the heavy lifting. Let somebody else knock the doors. Let somebody else lead the music. Let somebody else sing in the choir. Let somebody else paint buildings. Let somebody else clean up. Let somebody else teach the young kids. There are many in this generation today that are setting back and saying, you know what, I'm good with having a caring heart or maybe a prayerful heart, and I'm okay with these other things, but you know what? A willing heart, it's just not for me. It's just not who I am. No, tonight, if you and I are going to have a heart like Paul, may you and I be willing to serve God with the talents that He has given us, not wasting our time here on this earth, but getting together at Lancaster Baptist Church, arm in arm, willing to step out by faith, willing to serve God. It's the book of Isaiah that states, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, watch the wording here, here am I, send me. The book of Acts records of the Apostle Paul, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told unto thee what thou shalt do. You and I must have the heart, have the understanding. Hey, Lord, I might not be the best. Lord, I might not have the best voice. I might not be the most talented. But God, here is my heart. Lord, I am willing to step out. I'm willing to do, Savior, whatever you would have me to do. Amen. But may I encourage us as the church tonight? There are many, as I look around this auditorium this evening, that you are in the third or the fourth quarter of your life here on this earth. May I talk to you, generation, just for a moment? Please don't have the attitude of many around the globe that says, well, I put my time in. Well, I've served there before, time for somebody else to come in. And or the attitude that we as millennials hear so often is, well, I'm too old, they're just putting me out in the pasture. No, that's not encouraging to anyone. Understand, if that's you this evening, and you've put your time in, and you've served, and you've sung in the choir, and you've cleaned, and you've led music, and you've rode buses, and you've built bus routes, and you've brought up young kids in Sunday school and in junior church that and now have kids of their own. Understand, if that's you tonight, let me encourage you to still have a heart like Paul that's willing, because I'm here to tell you, church, we need you. We need you to hold the banner high. We're here to help all we can, but we need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your character. We need your integrity. We need you to step up and step out and be willing to continue to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't you give up on us now. We haven't heard the words come up hither. We're still here tonight. We're not part of that great cloud of witnesses. There is a job to be done. And may I say, if you have the hoary head tonight, if you have the gray hair, we need you in this battle. We need you. Oh, a thankful, prayerful, willing. But Christians also have a sharing heart. Verse number 11, look at it with me as Paul continues to write. He says, for I long to see you. Watch what he says, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. Paul's desire was to establish the Roman believers with sound doctrine. It is sound biblical doctrine that will hold both the believer and the local church together when the storms come. There are many churches across our land that have no doctrinal grounding. I'm thankful tonight for Lancaster Baptist Church and for a pastor that continually steps up to this pulpit and week after week after week gives us the Word of God and feeds us not just the milk, but gives us the meat of the Word so that you and I, week after week, our marriages are strengthened and our kids are strengthened. And as grandparents, we're strengthened in the Word of God. How many tonight are thankful for a pastor that still thunders the Word of God? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a grounding, but it's a sharing heart. You see, tonight, brethren, as we step in here this evening, this message and every week as pastor preaches, it's not just for us to come and to feed on and, well, go through the line and, preacher, that was a good message. Sure, appreciate that. Thanks so much. All right, let's see. Yep, getting out of here at a good time. Wonder who's winning the series. We got to get in the car. Let's get to the restaurant. No. It's for us to come in, grow in the Word of God, then take that meat, take that milk, take that honey, take the Word of God and share it with others.
Amen.
Yeah, there are many that come to local churches and they'll come in and say, well, preacher, I've got the Romans Road memorized, and I know it. I'm telling you, I've got it all memorized, and that's good, and that's great, and we praise the Lord. But if we're not door knocking, what good is it doing? Well, I'm telling you, I built the biggest bus route you ever said. That's good, and that's great, and thankful for your knowledge, but are we still doing it? It is a sharing heart. But would you fill this in? Christians also have a caring heart. Verse number 12, Paul says this, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul had this caring heart. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. May you and I come together. Why? Because you and I are family. We're family here at Lancaster Baptist Church. May you and I come together and care for each other and reach out to each other. Not because somebody in our Sunday school class gave us a visit, or not because we had Brother Furso say, hey, I need you to go visit them. No, it's you and I coming in and helping the deacons and helping the pastor and helping the Sunday school teachers and looking around at who's missing and who hasn't been here for a while. And then, well, it's somebody else's responsibility. They should have been on it. Well, I guess what? I knew they were going to leave because they haven't been here. No, it's you and I caring for one another, reaching out, helping each other. As Pastor said tonight, there's a family here. And for the last 3 months, they've been discipled. And now they're here. And it's you and I to take the time after service and say, hey, we need to reach out. We need to care. We need to invite them to one of our small groups class and get them plugged in and help them to see that serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is one of the greatest lives a Christian can live. Oh, a caring heart. This world, as I mentioned earlier, does it take 5 minutes to be on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or turn on whatever your flavor is, CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or CBS, doesn't take very long to tune in and realize that it's a dark world that we live in. If there was ever a place where people could come and feel at home and feel loved and feel cared for, it ought to be the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. Doesn't matter their background, doesn't matter their family tree, doesn't matter where they've been, doesn't matter what they've done in the past. No, when they walk in these doors, they ought to know that there is a body of Christ that loves them and wants to see them grow and wants to see them get saved. And they ought to understand that, man, while outside of these doors may be dark and it may be gloomy, when they walk in here, they know this is a loving, caring group of people. Christians also ought to have, would you fill this in, a purposed heart. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says there, Romans 1, look at verse number 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I have purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." One of the clearest verses concerning Paul's love in the ministry is found in the book of Philippians. You see, Christians have this purposed heart, a purposed heart like the Apostle Paul when he wrote this. Philippians 1 at verse number 20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but in the boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul was purposed in his life journey. He had a purpose to serve his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had a purpose that no matter what came up, no matter what obstacles he faced, he knew, "I want to live my life for my Savior." The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Christian, what is your life? "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Paul had a purposed heart, but also Christians have a debtor's heart. A debtor's heart. Look at verse number 14. He said, "For I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Paul watched the martyrdom of some of God's choice servants, such as Stephen. Those who died left a witness that brought Paul to Christ, and now he owed that same witness to the rest of the lost world. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 5 records, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You and I, we have been bought with a price. You and I are saved. If you're saved tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
Understand that you and I now are in debt. You and I ought to be sharing in this area the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come together and we knock doors. I know that there are many who across the country cry, "Door knocking doesn't work." And maybe even myself, living in the South for 34 years, then moving here to the West, I'm telling you, Brother Furso, I am a believer in door knocking. It absolutely does work. And it's you and I taking that track, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking and sharing it with others. Amen. I ask us this evening, Christian, how's our heart towards soul winning? Christians tonight, would you fill this in? Have a ready heart. Verse number 15, as we close tonight, look at verse number 15. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Paul's heart was this: "I am ready to preach the gospel to you." He said, "I'm willing, I'm coming, but I am also ready." Paul is ready to try the doors of opportunity and walk through them as Christ would open them. Acts chapter 9, verse number 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He wrote to Timothy and said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Are you and I ready as Christians? Are we willing to give our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's one thing, understand, church, it's one thing to look at these last 8 points and say, yep, that's me. Yep, I'm that. Yep, sure, prayerful, caring, willing, absolutely. Yep, sign me up. But are we ready? As we walk through this life, are you and I ready to give the gospel? If the Lord should come tonight before we close our Bibles,
Are we ready to give an account to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Christian, may I encourage us this evening? What is our heart tonight? Is our heart the heart of a Christian?